The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through chapter 3, verse 13. If you have one of the Bibles from the back of the pew, you can follow along on page 977. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Grateful you're with us as we continue looking at the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. The last several years has shown us that there's seemingly very little that we agree upon culturally. It seems like we disagree over a whole host of matters, and yet I think there is one thing that we can all agree on, and that is that there are some really deep fractures in our world. That there is a brokenness that doesn't seem like is any way possible to mend. We can all understand that reality. And we can probably all relate to the fact that at some point, some moment, some season of your life and mine, brokenness is going to come knocking at our door. It's going to touch and affect every one of us. And often in those kinds of moments and seasons in life, what happens is it brings with it that brokenness that we experience. It brings with it a sort of discouragement, a disheartenedness, a sense of even kind of losing heart. Like we all know that brokenness, hardship, suffering, trial, it comes our way. It touches all of us. And with it comes a sense of discouragement oftentimes. That's just a common human reality. Doesn't matter what you believe politically. Doesn't matter where you stand religiously. It doesn't matter what you think on many items. The fact is, brokenness touches all of us in some way. And so this passage this morning is helpful because the Apostle Paul is essentially going to help us understand, where do we go, to whom do we turn when we experience that kind of discouragement in our life? Like, what does it look like for us to face, to fight discouragement that will indeed come our way? How do we do that? Where do we find the resources and the help in order to walk through that? You see, the reality is this. Scripture is extremely honest and transparent with and about the brokenness in our world and our lives. It doesn't sugarcoat things. It doesn't say come to Jesus and all of your trials and difficulties will melt away. That's not what the scripture does. The scripture isn't naive. The scripture is brutally honest with the reality that even those who are in Christ Jesus, even those who are followers of Jesus, will indeed experience discouragement, a disheartening, suffering, trials. We'll experience those things. And so where do we turn in those seasons, in those moments of discouragement? How do we deal with that kind of discouragement? Well, the Apostle Paul is going to point us in a couple of directions in this passage. In order to gain some perspective that we could face the kinds of discouragement that will come our way, we need to remember the gospel, and we need to remember God's unique calling on our lives. And so what we're going to see this morning then is that we face discouragement by remembering the work of our God. Like in moments of trial and moments of and times of need, the way that we face those things is by remembering the work of our God. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to do for us this morning. He jumps in here in verse 1 of chapter 3 saying, for this reason, he's remembering, he's building off of things that he's already said in chapter 2. He's described the way in which God is at work. Like in chapter 1, we saw this image or this picture that was painted for us that God has this cosmic plan and purpose to reconcile all things to himself. And in chapter 2, he starts unpacking. How does the Lord do that? The Lord reconciles people to himself, and the Lord reconciles people to one another. And the Apostle Paul then is coming in this moment to begin a prayer. And we know he's going to pray because he picks it back up in verse 14, but between verses 1 and 13, there's this interlude that the Apostle Paul makes. As he starts to begin his prayer, he's reminded of his own circumstance. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. We need to understand that all of this passage is to be understood in light of the Apostle Paul's own unique suffering. We know that that's the case because of how he ends this section in verse 13. So I ask you to not lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. As he remembers his own circumstance, he's reminded that that could be a source of discouragement for the people in Ephesus. He's been describing the cosmic realities of God reconciling all things to himself, reconciling people to himself, reconciling people to one another. And yet, he's saying these things as he sits in a prison cell in Rome. And in that, then, it could bring about a discouragement to the people. It was a source of discouragement. And the point of this passage in verses 2 through 12 is to help us know how to face discouragement when it comes our way. And so, yes, indeed, the Apostle Paul has something very specific in mind for the people in Ephesus. But as we understand their situation, it helps us to make sense of our own. When you and I face and experience difficulty and hardship in this life, he's going to help us understand where to turn to find help and hope. See, life's hard. Again, there may not be many things we can agree on, but most of us understand that reality. We've experienced it. We've tasted it. We know what that looks like. We know what that smells like. It's hard. And so where do we turn? How do we face those kinds of difficulties and trials in this life? Well, the Apostle Paul also shows us what it's not. How do we face discouragement? It's not just having a stiff upper lip, sucking it up. It's not just numbing the pain and the difficulty in our circumstance. It's not ignoring those things, turning our back on them. Just get busy doing a lot of stuff so that you can just forget about the difficulties and trials in your life. That's not the answer. The answer isn't to just level out all of those Christian cliches that you have in your back pocket. Like, those things don't help us in moments of real, deep need. And so that's not the answer, but what is the answer? You see, what the Apostle Paul wants us to remember is that discouragement's real. He doesn't sugarcoat things. He wants us to understand that it's a reality that we're all going to bump into at some point. And when we do, he wants us to remember to look at certain truths about our God in order to be able to face the discouragement that comes our way. He wants us to look at what God is doing in the world, that we might understand that we haven't been left on our own. That we're not in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of these difficulties, in the midst of this trial, this heartache, this discouragement. We're not in the midst of those things on our own. But instead, we need to look to our God who is actively at work in our world. That's what he reminds us of starting in verse 2. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. He tells us, he wants us to look and consider the wonders of God's grace. And those wonders of God's grace are described to us as the mystery that's been made known. Often we think of mystery as a problem to be solved. Whether you're watching a show or reading a book, it's this sort of whodunit, and you're trying to put the clues together and figure it out. That's not the idea of mystery in the New Testament. Mystery in the New Testament is something which is beyond natural knowledge, but has been opened to us by revelation through the Holy Spirit. And so this mystery has been made known to us. He's been unpacking that in chapter 2. The mystery is that God is reconciled, actively at work, reconciling people of all kinds of different backgrounds, ethnicities. He's reconciling people to himself, and he's reconciling people to one another within his church. This is the great mystery of God that's been revealed to us. It's the accomplishment of his gospel purposes, that people would be reconciled to himself, be brought into his family, and his family would be comprised of all kinds of different people who by God's grace have overcome barriers and obstacles that keep us apart and are now living together in the church of Jesus. That's the mystery that's been made known to us. And this mystery that's been made known to us, it's been accomplished by this gospel that's filled with God's grace. That is his gift, his undeserved gift to us. See, the gospel is simply put this message about the divine, eternal Son of God who came and dwelt among us. He took on flesh. He lived amongst us. And by virtue of his life, his death, and his resurrection, all those who place faith and trust in Christ can come into his family. That's the good news that's found, that's bound up in Christ, what God is doing in and through him. And that matters for us as we think about this issue of discouragement. You see, if you and I lose sight of the fact of God's grace is comprised, or God's gospel is comprised in his grace, if we lose sight of that fact, that it's a gift that's given to us, and we live and operate it out of a works framework, then suffering, trials, discouragement will be a crushing weight that none of us will be able to bear. You see, a works framework basically goes like this. God accepts us because we're living the right kind of life. If we do the right kinds of things, if we live the right kind of life, if we take part in the right kinds of religious ceremonies, then God will accept us. But here's the reality. If that's the case, then why am I experiencing such hardship? Why is life so hard? I'm doing the things that God has asked me to do. I'm living the life that's acceptable to Him. And so when we live from this kind of works-based framework, discouragement is not just something that we have to face. It provides a crushing weight that we can't bear up under. And so instead, the Apostle Paul wants to remind us that that's not how God operates in this world. That God is actively at work in this world by His grace. He has rescued and He has redeemed, and He's done that by His grace, not by your effort. And so if we're going to face discouragement, we need to remember the work of God in the gospel. That God is at work in us. He's at work around us. That in our moments, whatever you think that moment of discouragement is telling you, it's not telling you that you are in it alone. Because God is present among us. We face discouragement by remembering the work of our God. We remember the work of our God in the gospel, but we also need to remember the work of God in our calling. You see, the Apostle Paul wants us to remember what God has called us into. He's going to highlight specifically his own sense of calling. He's going to describe for us his own sense of calling to be a part of God's gospel work. But as we hear the Apostle Paul describe his sense of calling, it needs to remind us that we have all been called into the great and grand purposes of our God. That we all have a role to play. We all have a part to play. And as we remember our own sense of call on our life, to live as God's ambassadors, it will help us regain a perspective in the midst of discouragement and disappointment. It doesn't mean that discouragement's just going to melt away. It's going to evaporate and it's not going to affect you in a very profound way. That's not the promise that the Apostle Paul wants us to hear in this moment. But it is going to provide for us a perspective to remember that this discouragement, this pain, this trial, this suffering, it does not get the last word. We are a part of God's grand and cosmic purposes, and that helps us gain a perspective in the midst of difficulty. And that's what the Apostle Paul does as he reminds us, I, Paul, a prisoner of Rome, a prisoner of the Jews. That's not what he says. A prisoner for Christ Jesus. He's reminding us, he has this greater perspective, remembering God's call on his life. The reason he's in the place that he is because he has been faithful to God's call on his life. He's brought the gospel of God to people who are far from him. And because of that, it's now got him in this place of sitting in this prison. And so instead of the Ephesians being discouraged by Paul's situation and circumstance, it should be a reminder to them that the Apostle Paul is doing the work of God. He's brought to them the gospel of Jesus, that they might know God and live as his family. And so too, you and I need to remember our own sense of call. God has called us into something bigger than ourselves. The Christian life is not about me and Jesus. The Christian life is so much bigger, so much more profound than that. God has cosmic plans and purposes. That's what Paul wants us to see from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. And he has invited us to come and play. We have a role, we play a part. We live into something that's bigger than ourselves. And we live this out within the context of the local church. It's not about me and Jesus, it's about us and Jesus. Together, our lives display something, he says, of God's manifold wisdom. The way that we live life together, it could display to a watching world God's great wisdom of reconciling all things to himself. The world's broken, yes, indeed, and this isn't the way it was supposed to be. This is not how the story began. The story didn't begin in brokenness. But brokenness enters into our lives and our world because of sin. And that sin has brought about these deep fractures that every single one of us and all of our friends feel. And what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand is that the church gives a glimpse of God's inbreaking kingdom. You see, the story of the gospel, while it climaxes with Christ, it reminds us that it does not end there, but rather in the future, when God is going to restore all things. Restore all things. He's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to bind up everything that's broken. He's going to bring hope where there was once discouragement. That is a sure and true promise. But now, in this time, in the age to come, that's what it looks like. But now, in this time, God is breaking in by his kingdom within the context of the local church. And as one person has said, the church is his pilot program displaying his cosmic reconciling work. That as he mends fractured relationships in the church, as he makes whole broken hearts in the church, he's displaying something of his wisdom to a watching world. We get to see, in the context of the church, God's restoration at work. So yes, the church has all kinds of problems. There aren't many kinds of hurt like church hurt. I get that. But the reality is this. God is at work amongst his people, and that our lives together can magnify his great wisdom. Who on earth would have ever thought the story would go this way? And yet God in his wisdom has done just that, that as a watching world looks on, our life together, our care and our concern for one another can display something of his great wisdom. And that this is not only put on display for a watching world, but he says is put on display for the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Everything that's been created is looking on the church to see God's manifold wisdom on display. You and I get to play a part in that. You see, that's the calling on our life, is to be a part of God's great, grand restoration project. And in moments of discouragement, moments of hardship, moments of trial, remembering those realities can give us a perspective beyond ourselves. Because this is what's true for all of us in moments of really hard, dark times. It's almost impossible to see beyond the cloud outside of ourselves. All we just get lost in the discouragement. I mean, that's natural. And yet, the Apostle Paul is trying to show us that if we'll remember God's work in the gospel and remember God's work in our calling, we'll be able to see, have a perspective beyond ourselves, that we could experience hope and help in the midst of our discouragement. We face discouragement by remembering the work of our God. And so how do we practically face discouragement in our lives? Again, I'm just going to reiterate things that we've said. We need to remember the gospel of God. We need to remember God's grace that's been displayed to us in and through Jesus. And that if you're in Christ, you've received this great gift of salvation, and it should be a reminder to you that God has not left you alone in this world. So whatever you're walking through in this moment, you can know that God is walking with you. And so the invitation for all those who have yet to trust in Christ is to give your life over to him. To have the King of the universe as your father, to be a part of his family, to experience his love, grace, kindness in your life. That's the offer to us this morning. And it's been offered to us as a free gift. It's not something that we have to earn. It's not something that we could ever earn. But it is a gift that's been given to us. And if you'll place faith and trust in Christ, you're brought into his family. You're adopted into the very family of God. And God is now at work in all those who have trusted in Christ to reconcile us, not only to himself, but to one another, that we might display something of God's manifold wisdom to a watching world. And yet in the midst of difficulty and hardship and trials, we need to remember the gospel with others. Like you and I were never intended to walk this life on our own. It's too hard. We have to remember that brokenness is an intruder into our world, but my neediness as a creature has always been there. There was never a moment that human persons were without need of God in this world. And yet now it's just all the more profound. Our need is just amplified a billionfold. And God has given us his people to be a part of his family, that we would not walk this life on our own, trying to bear under the weight of all of this on our own. Like, this is why those community environments as a church are so vital and important for us. We need to know others, and we need to be known by others. And so those are opportunities to get to know other people, that we could walk together in this life as God intended. Men, that's why the men's retreat can be so valuable. It's an opportunity to walk with brothers, to have our lives centered around Jesus, so we're not walking in this life on our own. And that there's something about the care and concern that we're supposed to display to one another within the church that presents a counterculture to a watching world and invites them in. Again, remember, difficulty and trial is a common human experience. Every single person knows what difficulty and trial feels like. And yet not every single person knows where to turn for help and hope. And so as we live together with great care and love for one another, Jesus himself says that the world will know that we're his disciples. That there will be something attractive about our life together that would cause people to wonder about this Savior whom we follow. And that Savior whom we follow is why we end every service remembering the Lord Jesus by taking part in the Lord's Supper. You see, it was his broken body and his shed blood that was the very means by which you and I could be reconciled to God and that we could be reconciled to one another. Apart from that reality, there is no hope for us. And yet Jesus took upon himself the weight of our sin. He bore that for us. And he died in our place, that for all those who place faith and trust in him could know him. And so before we rush forward, let's just take a moment and reflect, remember the gospel. Remember what God has rescued you from. And let's not end there. Let's not just remember what he's rescued us from. Let's remember what he's rescuing us to. He's rescuing us to be a part of his cosmic plan and purpose. And those two great realities are what the Apostle Paul says will give us hope in the midst of discouragement and trial. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that you have spoken to us by it, that in your great wisdom, you are operating in a way that we never would have comprehended. Like, we never would have dreamt this up. And yet, in your wisdom, you are reconciling people to yourself and to one another. And so, Lord, in this moment, would you help us to remember Jesus? Remember what he has rescued us from. Remember what he has rescued us to, that we might live out this call in our life to be a part of your cosmic plan and purposes. We are grateful for all you're doing in this moment. Would you help us to experience something of your mercy, kindness, and grace? And it's by Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Mm-hmm.